Good morning. Please rise for the processional hymn 661. I love to tell the story. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of your heart by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Please rise for the invocation and the Kyrie, which we will speak today. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and also with you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world and for the well-being of the Church of God and the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Our hymn of praise is number 781, Children of the Heavenly Father. I think we still stand. I think you're still standing. Sorry. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Please, in the prayer of the day, blessed Lord God, you have caused the Holy Scriptures to be written for the nourishment of your people. Grant that we may hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that comforted by your promises, we may embrace and forever hold fast to the hope of eternal life. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading today comes from Nehemiah 8 and a few different sections. All the people gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday. In the presence of men and those who could understand, and the ears of all people with attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood their reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to your Lord. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The word of the Lord. Today's psalm is Psalm 19. We'll read it responsively. The heavens are telling the glory of God. Day to day pours forth speech. There is no speech, nor are there words. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth. Which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens. The law of the Lord is perfect, the precepts of the Lord are right. The fear of the Lord is pure.
Enduring forever.
More to be desired are they than gold.
Even much fine gold.
Moreover, by them is your servant warned. But who can detect one's? Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart The second reading comes from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 31a. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body through many are one body, so it is with Christ. In the Spirit we're all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members, each of them, as he chose. If you were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the hand to the feet, the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with great honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas one more respectable members do not need this. But God has arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member. There may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. All are apostles, all are prophets, all are teachers. Do not work powerful deeds. Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak, do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. The word of the Lord.
The gospel for today, the third Sunday of Epiphany, is from the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. In the power of the Spirit returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread throughout the surrounding region. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was a custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim and release the captives and recover sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Please be seated. You may or may not know that last fall I received a call. It was my brother asking for help in harvest, so I drove a truck for the first time in about 30 years. There were a few hiccups, but it was fun to be back in the dirt. Ample time to observe and watch everything around me. The coyotes and seagulls were after the mice. A crow and an eagle seemed to meet every day on the pivot to discuss the latest news. I think there's a children's book somewhere in that. I was able to watch different farmers roll into their fields and dig with speed and precision. You'd be hard-pressed to find a bad farmer in North or South Pleasant Valley. I know from growing up out there that the farmers watch each other to look to see if the rows were straight or if there were skips, cultivator blight, or if there were weeds and rock piles and if their ditches were clean. Someone once told me there are two kinds of farmers, ones who farm to live and the ones who live to farm. I want to talk to you today about the latter. You can tell the difference even from afar. They have a love and kind of a reverence of the dirt. I watched Alex go into the field, kneel down to dig in the earth to see how deep the moisture was or how hard the soil was. These kind of farmers will dig and look for the seed to see if it sprouted or if it grew. They leave whatever they're working on to help with breakdowns. They go home last, and they are up and outside first in the morning. Another such farmer had finished his harvest and field work and putting away his equipment for the winter. But because of the location of a particular field, there was some trash that had blown out from the beet dump and a few rocks that had surfaced. Dustin was on his four-wheeler picking up the debris and rocks and putting them into a 5-gallon bucket. But Dustin didn't drive into the field. He parked along the road and would walk in and pick up each item and drop it in the bucket. He left no tracks or wheel marks. The field remained smooth and perfect, ready to receive the seeds this next spring. Dustin farms to the edge of the road. What I mean is he maintains the dirt, the property line, and the road. He's not trying to get another bushel of wheat or an extra sugar beet. He knows that whatever grows along the road will eventually find its way into the field. So he goes beyond the line. He crosses over to take care of whatever is there. Jesus is doing the same when he proclaims, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, to recover sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim a year of the Lord's favor." He's telling us he's going to free us from everything back. He's going to cross some lines to do it. He crosses the 6-foot line to heal the leper. He heals an unclean woman who touches the hem of his garment. He heals the man in a synagogue on the Sabbath. He heals the lame, the outcast, and the forgotten, all while crossing lines of Jewish law and society norms. If we are his disciples, a people who have been baptized into his fold, then we are asked to step over some of those lines and fences. We're to care about the poor, no matter what got them in that place. We're to care about the blind and spiritually, the refugee, the old, the widow, the lonely, and the young. This day, the scripture is fulfilled in our hearts. This day is today. I like the saying, if it's not happening today, it's probably not going to happen tomorrow either. Are we ready? Today is the day that we are going to cross over the line and give love, to tell the truth, to forgive, to end grudges, to feed the hungry, to reconcile, to make peace, and to always, always give thanks. This is less about what we believe, about how we live. If this gives you anxiety, it does me too. It's why we as a people like to see Jesus on our side of the church, our party, our country. Jesus chose to cross a big line that day in the synagogue. The congregation became very angry. They had heard enough and were getting ready to throw him off a cliff. The gospel asks us to make a choice, to make a stand that sometimes is inconvenient or goes against our self-interest. In Matthew 19, Jesus says, "I did not come to bring peace." This is where my confirmation class and I have to explain that the Hebrews were looking for a warrior to come and set them free. Jesus came to give peace to those who are near to him. But his sword is going to cut a division amongst our families, our neighbors, and friends. But the sword will also open up the temple doors. It will cut the veil and allow everyone access to God's love and forgiveness. Jesus promises a new life, and we are the keepers and the breakers of that promise. There's no neutral stand when it comes to him. May we be willing to cross over our boundaries, made lines, to care for those who are just on the other side of our fences. The second half of this sermon is next week. Be sure to tune in to see what happens. And thank you, Dustin and Alex, for providing the visual of the gospel reading. Amen.
The hymn of the day is number 838, Beautiful Savior.
Thank you.
Please rise for the confession of faith and the prayers of the church. We'll be using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the Spirit of Christ shining upon us, let us boldly pray for the church, the world, and all creation. As your world is opened in our midst, we give thanks for all who share Scripture for parents, grandparents, and godparents, teachers and mentors, deacons, pastors, bishops, and scholars. Inspire passion for the stories of faith. God of grace, as the heavens declare your glory and the sky proclaims your work, we lift up our awe of quirks and atoms, vast stars and solar systems. Guide us to speak on behalf of your handiwork. God of grace, as Jesus proclaimed life and freedom in this community, energize communities and nations to eliminate poverty, engage in prison ministry and transformative justice, and envision new ways of working together for your promised reign. God of grace, as your word and presence revive the soul, accompany all experiencing depression, anxiety, or eating disorders. Be a source of strength for all affected by memory loss and their caregivers. Draw near to join medical treatment or surgery, especially to those we lift up now in our hearts. God of grace, as we are made one body in baptism, strengthen all who serve. Renew and inspire all who use their gifts in this congregation, community, and of the world. God of grace, as our faith is strengthened by saints who have gone before us, we remember leaders of the early church and beloved friends and family who have died, especially the family of Chuck Strom, now and others in our hearts. God of grace, we entrust our prayers to you, O God, in the sure and certain hope that your promise is revealed among the people. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. And please join with me in the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Talk about the Ten Commandments. Number six, thou shalt not commit adultery. Number seven, thou shalt not, where was it? Thou shalt not steal. What does that mean? Don't rob a store. Don't take stuff that doesn't belong to you, right? How's the best way to get stuff that you want?
Just paying.
Asking or what else?
Paying.
Get a job, right? You got a job? Chores. Well, that's a good job. So we have to pay, right? We can't just go steal it. We got to get a job to pay for it. Today we're on number eight, and this has got some really weird words in it. Thou shalt not bear false witness. What do you think that means?
I don't think you know.
That means bearing is like telling. Do not tell. What do you think false witness means? Well, tattletale or lying. It says, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. So that means anybody. These guys don't live all next to me, but they're my neighbors, right? So I don't tell lies about them. You know, some people might to try to get them in trouble, right? Like your sister? Okay, well, now you've been ratted out. Okay. All right, that's the eighth. What comes next? Next week. Number nine, and then number 10. Are we done, or should we have other things to learn? Other things. All right, you guys, you heard it. All right.
Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today, in the church year, it is the third Sunday after Epiphany. Especially welcome to all of you who are visiting here with us today in person, to those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday this week to Heidi Winder, Brenda Hendricks, Jim Glarborg, Charlie Rudine, Sharon Strom, Tyler Rowe, Brenson Bauer, Cody Porth. This Monday is AF Daily Bread from 5:30 to 6:30.
So please join us. We're having pulled pork sandwiches. It's being sponsored by the middle school. And if anybody would like to volunteer, we would love to have you. So hope to see you then.
Okay. Scout Sunday is next Sunday the 2nd. They'll be doing flags before and after the service. Are there any other announcements not found in the worship bulletin or corrections or the ones found there? Okay. Offering will be collected at this time.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in, feeding the world with your love. Through one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now, may the Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Recessional hymn this morning is number 198 in the other songbook, the other one, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Peace, serve the Lord.